B. Listen to the dialogue and choose the best answer for each question you hear.
Did you know I saw Ichabod Crane in New York City yesterday?
How come? Wasn't he taken away by the headless horseman?
Who knows? But I still remember what he looked like and couldn't have been wrong.
Yes, he was tall and thin. Like his name, he looked just like a crane.
Although he was tall and thin, he ate as much as a fat man. So besides teaching, he earned extra money teaching young people to sing.
That was how he met Katrina, the only daughter of the rich Dutch farmer, and fell in love with her at first sight.
But his rival, Brom van Brunt, used to be a hero to all the young ladies. Such was the enemy Archibald had to defeat for Katrina's heart.
Archibald had an idea. In the name of helping her in singing, he made many visits to Katrina. It seemed to make Brom so disappointed that everyone thought Archibald was winning her heart.
That's right. But strangely enough, after the big party held in Katrina's house that night, Archibald disappeared.
The next day, we found Archibald's horse, his old dusty hat and broken pieces of a pumpkin in the valley.
Do you believe, like others, that he was taken away by the headless horseman?
Isn't that possible?
God knows. But didn't you find it strange that Brom would laugh out loud at the mere mention of Archibald's name and the broken pumpkin at Katrina and his wedding?
Could it mean that Brom pretended to be the headless horseman and scared Archibald away?
It's not unlikely. After all, they were rivals.
Poor Archibald.
2. Text: The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving.
The valley, known as Sleepy Hollow, hides from the world in the high hills of New York State. There are many stories told about the quiet valley, but the story that people believe most is about the apparition of a headless horseman. The story says the man died many years ago during the American Revolutionary War, and he had his head shot off. He is ever seen hurrying along in the gloom of night, looking for his lost head. Near Sleepy Hollow is a village called Tarrytown. The village had a small school, and the schoolteacher was named Ichabod Crane. Ichabod Crane was a good name for him, because he was tall and thin, just like a crane. His shoulders were small, joined to long arms. His head was small, too, and flat on top. He had big ears, large glassy green eyes, and a long nose. Ichabod did not make much money as a teacher, and although he was tall and thin, he ate like a fat man. To help him pay for his food, he earned extra money teaching young people to sing. Among the ladies Ichabod taught was one Katrina Van Tassel. She was the only daughter of a rich Dutch farmer. She was a blooming lass of fresh 18, plump as a partridge, ripe and melting and rosy-cheeked as one of her father's peaches. Ichabod had a soft and foolish heart for ladies, and soon found himself interested in Miss Van Tassel. But there were many hurdles blocking the road to Katrina's heart. One was a strong young man named Brom van Brunt, a hero to all the young ladies. He was broad-shouldered and double-jointed, with short, curly black hair and a bluff but not unpleasant countenance. He always won the horse races in Tarrytown and earned many prizes. Brom was never seen without a horse. Such was the enemy Ichabod had to defeat for Katrina's heart. Stronger and wiser men would have not tried, but Ichabod had a plan. He could not fight his enemy in the open, so he did it silently and secretly. He made many visits to Katrina's farm and made her think he was helping her to sing better. Time passed, and the town people thought Ichabod was winning. Brahm's horse was never seen at Katrina's house on Sunday nights anymore. One day in autumn, Ichabod was asked to come to a big party at the Van Tassel home. He dressed in his best clothes. A farmer loaned him an old horse for the long trip to the party. Brahm Van Brunt rode to the party on his fastest horse, called Daredevil. All the young ladies smiled happily when they saw him. Ichabod was happy dancing with Katrina, the lady of his heart, while Brahm, sorely smitten with love and jealousy, sat brooding by himself in one corner. When the music stopped, the young people sat together to tell stories about the Revolutionary War. Soon, stories about Sleepy Hollow were told. The most feared story was about the rider looking for his lost head. One farmer told how he raced the headless man on a horse. The farmer ran his horse faster and faster, until the headless horseman suddenly stopped. Gone were his clothes and his skin. All that was left was a man with white bones shining in the moonlight. The stories ended and time came to leave the party. Ichabod seemed very happy until he said goodnight to Katrina. Was she ending their romance? He left feeling very sad. Had Katrina been seeing Ichabod just to make Brahm Van Brunt jealous so he would marry her? Well, Ichabod began his long ride home. He thought he saw something white move in the tree. But no, it was only the moonlight shining and moving on the tree. Then he heard a noise. His body shook. He kicked his horse faster. The horse ran fast and then suddenly stopped, almost throwing Ichabod forward to the ground. There, in the dark woods, on the side of the river where the bushes grew low, stood an ugly thing, big and black. It did not move, but seemed gathered up in the gloom like some gigantic monster ready to spring upon the traveler. Ichabod's hair stood straight up. What was to be done? To turn and fly was now too late. Summoning up, therefore, a show of courage, he demanded in stammering accents, "Who are you?" He received no reply. Ichabod's old horse began to move forward. The black thing began to move along the side of Ichabod's horse in the dark. Ichabod made his horse run faster. The black thing moved with them. Side by side they moved, slowly at first. Ichabod felt his heart sink. For a moment the moon shone down, and to Ichabod's horror, he saw it was a horse, and it had a rider. But the rider's head was not on his body. It was in front of the rider, resting on the horse. He rained a shower of kicks and blows upon his horse, hoping by a sudden movement to give his companion the slip. But the specter started full jump with him. Away, then, they dashed through thick and thin, stones flying and sparks flashing at every bound. Up ahead was the old church bridge where the headless horseman stops and returns to his burial place. "If only I can get there first, I am safe," thought Ichabod. Ichabod looked back to see if the headless man had stopped. He saw the man pick up his head and throw it with a powerful force. The head hit Ichabod in the face and knocked him off his horse to the dirt below. They found Ichabod's horse the next day, peacefully eating grass. They could not find Ichabod. They walked all across the valley. They saw the footmarks of Ichabod's horse as it had raced through the valley. They even found Ichabod's old hat in the dust near the bridge. But they did not find Ichabod. The only other thing they found was lying near Ichabod's hat. It was the broken pieces of a round orange pumpkin. The town people talked about Ichabod for many weeks, and finally they came to believe that the headless horseman had carried Ichabod away. Much later, an old farmer returned from a visit to New York City. He said he was sure he had seen Ichabod there. He thought Ichabod silently left Sleepy Hollow because he had lost Katrina. As for Katrina, her mother and father gave her a big wedding when she married Braun Van Brunt. Many people who went to the wedding saw that Brom smiled whenever Ichabod's name was spoken, and they wondered why he laughed out loud when anyone talked about the broken orange pumpkin found lying near Ichabod's old dusty hat.
New words.
Hollow.
Apparition.
Revolutionary.
Crane.
Glassy.
Lass.
Partridge.
Rosy-cheeked.
Double-jointed.
Curly.
Bluff.
Countenance.
Sorely.
Smite.
Jealousy.
Brood.
Gloom.
Gigantic.
Monster.
Stammer.
Accent.
Spectre.
Dash.
Pumpkin.
Proper nouns.
Sleepy Hollow.
Tarrytown.
Ichabod Crane.
Katrina Van Tassel.
Brom Van Brunt.
6. Practice. Listening.
Listen to the story and fill in the blanks with appropriate words.
Lucy's letters. In the house on the left of ours lived an old woman named Lucy. She and my parents got along splendidly. Her husband had died about 2 years before, and she had no family close by. Lucy and her husband had bought their house and property in the 1940s. Her husband loved to tinker around the house and yard, but the yard was his real passion. He gave it meticulous care all year long, while she would type letters to distant relatives about the progress being made. Lucy's husband brought the yard to a beautiful state. Everybody admired and remarked on its condition. When he died, Lucy thought it befitting to scatter his ashes in the backyard, the place where he had spent countless hours. But after some time, Lucy was convinced that her husband had come back to his yard. She was especially frightened of the sprawling backyard, where he had spent many daylight hours. Lucy would tell us of hearing the sound of footsteps coming across the grass, or of someone or something tapping her on the shoulder. The next several years were lonely times for Lucy. We often had her at our house for family gatherings, but it didn't quite make up for losing a loved one. She spent the majority of her time typing letters on an old typewriter to family and friends. When Lucy died, the house remained vacant for a long time. Before the new owners were to take over, my father did some repair work inside. He often said he heard footsteps on the old hardwood floors. But we all knew something was happening when we heard the unmistakable striking of typewriter keys. Lucy had come back to type her ghost letters. I guess you could say that neither Lucy nor her husband was going to give up the things they loved the most.
Part 2. Language in Use. 1. Dialogue. Making a telephone appointment. Listen to the dialogue and fill in the blanks. Good morning, Odyssey Promotions. How may I help you?
Hello, this is Nick Darwin from DJ Corporation. Could I speak to Helen Turner, please?
Just a moment, please. Mrs. Turner, I have Nick Darwin on the line for you.
Thank you. Hi, Nick. Nice to hear from you. How's the weather in London?
It's pretty good for this time of year. What's it like in New York?
Not good, I'm afraid.
That's a pity, because I'm planning to come by next week.
Really? Well, you'll come by to see us while you're here, I hope.
That's what I'm phoning about. I've got a meeting in Boston next Tuesday. I was hoping we could arrange to meet up either before or after.
Great! That would give us a chance to show you the convention center. And we could also drop in at Caesar's restaurant, where we have arranged your reception.
I appreciate that.
When do you plan to leave Boston?
Could be either Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, but I would like to catch a flight back to London on Wednesday evening.
Okay. Well, it would be best for us if you could fly in on Wednesday morning. I'll pick you up at the airport. We'll run through any of the details that still haven't been finalized.
That sounds good.
Please fax me once you've confirmed your flight times, and then we'll get back to you with an itinerary for the day. That's Wednesday the 9th, right?
That's right. I'll do that, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
New words.
Finalize.
Proper nouns.
Nick Darwin.
Helen Turner.
Boston.
Caesar's Restaurant.
2. Pair work. Making an appointment. Reference answer. Hello, Mr. Johnson, please.
Mr. Johnson is busy at the moment. May I help you?
I'd like to make an appointment with him.
And your name is?
My name is Fred Lee. We'll be discussing our future cooperation.
One moment, please. Let me check his schedule. I'm afraid he can't meet you until tomorrow morning.
Thanks a lot. Could I meet him before 9:30 tomorrow morning?
He won't be in till 10:45, so the earliest would be 11 o'clock.
How about 11:30?
Okay, yes, I'll make a note of it.
So that's settled. Tomorrow, 11:30. Is that right?
Yes. 3. Text. An introduction to making telephone sales and appointments.
Introduction. Many people would agree that the best way to make a sale is through a direct sale, say from your shop or on the internet. Consequently, telemarketing is commonly overlooked, but in fact, telemarketing is responsible for millions of sales each year. Telemarketing is currently going through a growth phase after many years of doubt and is being adopted by all businesses, small to large. For people new to telemarketing, it may take time to become a sales expert on the phone, just like it does for most tasks, but once you have mastered the technique, it can become a strong marketing tool. Telemarketing is not solely used to make an instant sale, but also to make appointments that may lead to a sale. The area of telemarketing is extremely wide, and we aim to introduce you to the basics of the subject by pointing you in the right direction for a successful campaign. First objective. What are you trying to achieve when you first make contact with a customer by telephone? A meeting? A commitment to buy? A sale? In most instances, you should only try to fix a meeting. All too often, prospective customers are lost not due to your product, but by the attempt to get the customers to buy something they have not seen by someone they do not know. The pressure of trying to sell over the telephone is almost without parallel. How much simpler the whole process would be if you just concentrated on getting the appointment. By concentrating on the appointment, you can avoid the specifics of product service performance and instead concentrate on, we have something here that I know will excite you, and if you can give me 30 minutes, be honest with the time, I would love to show you how it will immediately improve your profitability. We have a new product service that has a number of new, advanced, interesting, cutting-edge, low-cost advantages, and I'm sure you would want to be one of the first to see them. Cold callers beware. Since 25 June 2004, it has been an offense to telephone a business that has registered its telephone numbers with the Telephone Preference Service, TPS, as not wanting unsolicited business-to-business telephone calls. The new regulations are in addition to the existing regulations that cover consumer cold calling. Once a telephone number has been registered with the TPS, it takes 28 days to become an offence if you cold call it. If you have an existing list of past clients, you would have to clean the list through TPS if you had no idea if they would want to hear from you again.
New words.
Instance.
Perspective.
Parallel.
Concentrate.
Profitability.
Offense.
Unsolicited.